Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens, and we're coming to you from Christmas Valley. It's an exciting time of the year. Jesus was born, we think, around this time of the year, and the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea and was God's only begotten Son, and he was the one who came into the world to save sinners such as you and I. What a privilege. What a Christmas present. Oh my. It's interesting to see the reaction of people when Christmas is coming. There's always disappointments, there's always upsets, and there's always bits of unbelief, and there's always the excitement of what could be, might be, and maybe. Oh my. I remember as a child, we used to go to the Christmas tree that my parents would set up some time before Christmas. And as the parcels were put there, we would go down secretly at night and examine, are there any more parcels? Who's this addressed to? Oh, it's addressed to Mum, and this is to Dad, and this is to my brother. And then there was one for me. And so my brother and I would pick up the various parcels and rattle them. One time we managed to break a very nice toy with four horses at the front of a stagecoach and two cowboys sitting on the top of the stagecoach. And it was all in metal. And we managed to break it by a vigorous shaking, which was a nuisance. But I had that toy for a very long time. It's interesting how we gauge our gifts. Is it in a big box, a small box, a tiny box? Is it expensive, very expensive? We don't understand that Christmas is not just the value of the gift. It is really much more than that. Many times people have said over the years, and I've heard them say it, Christmas is a time for the children. Whereas I agree that indeed children should be blessed at Christmas, I do not believe that statement. And here's the reason. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This isn't just for children. It may be a children's story, and we have made it that perhaps, but it is a story of absolute miracles. It's a story of tremendous insight into people. For instance, and if you have a Bible, you might want to turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I would say to you, have a good look at this chapter, because it teaches us many, many things. But there was, in the days of Herod, verse 5, that was king of Judea, there was a certain priest whose name was Zechariah, of the daily service, the division of Abia. And his wife was also a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They both were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child, for Elizabeth was barren, and both were far advanced in years. Now, while on duty serving as priests before God in the order of his division, as was the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And all the throng of people were praying outside in the court at the hour of incense burning. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear took possession of him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must call his name John, meaning God is favorable. And you shall have joy and exultant delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. And he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even and from his mother's womb. And he will turn the course and cause many to return of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will himself go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge of the holy love of the will of God, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed, and placed in the right moral state. And Zacharias said to the angel, "By what shall I know and be sure of this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I was sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. And lo, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you, but my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time." Now the people kept waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delaying so long in the sanctuary. And when he did come out, he was unable to speak to them, and they clearly perceived that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary, and he kept making signs to them. Still, he remained dumb. And when his time of performing priestly functions was ended, he returned to his own house. Now, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she secluded herself entirely, saying, "I must hide myself, because thus the Lord hath dealt with me in the days when he deigned to look on me to take away my reproach among men." Now, I'm going to stop there, because Gabriel angel comes and talks to her in the next segment, verse 26. But I want you to see, God was wrapping his package. Just before Jesus was to be born, John was to be born. John was to be born a few months earlier than Jesus. God was wrapping the package. Here, the person responsible for this beautiful little family didn't believe God. He simply didn't believe that God would bless them in their old age. And the angel speaks, and he says, "Look, I'm Gabriel. I spend my time in the presence of God. I've come to talk to you." So the angel is incredulous. "Why don't you believe me? There is a package to be delivered to Israel. The package will be carried in the womb of Elizabeth. You, Zechariah, the father, will call his name John," meaning God is very favorable. God is very inclined towards Israel. That's what it meant. For some reason, he didn't believe that this package could come through his wife Elizabeth and him to this world. He simply just did not believe such a beautiful package could be born. He did not believe that God was preparing the way of the Lord Jesus. And he didn't understand how to accept this very great generosity that comes from God. Now, I want to say to you that if you go on reading this chapter, you will discover how it is that Gabriel speaks to Mary. And he says to her, "The things that are impossible with man are possible with God." Now we go on and we look for a moment or two at what takes place. After the time that we've just read, why, Mary has a visitation, and the visitation is from Gabriel. He says to her in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come unto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you as a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Then Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to what you have said. Ah, Mary immediately accepts the package, and yet she knew that she would be called immoral because she was not yet married to Joseph. And she knew that all sorts of complications in the society in which she lived would be hers to carry all of her life. And she didn't really understand all that the angel said. But Mary rose and went with haste to the hill country in the town of Judah. And she went to the house of Zechariah and entered it. She saluted Elizabeth. And it occurred that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud cry and exclaimed, Blessed, favored of God, above all other women, you are. And blessed, favored of God, is the fruit of your womb. And how have I deserved that honor to be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, the instant the sound of your salutation reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed, happy to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies and extols or exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Saviour, for he has looked upon the low station and humiliation of his handmaid. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed and declare me happy and to be envied. For he who is almighty has done great things for me. She was looking at the package. She hadn't a clue at this point, being a young woman of maybe 16, never having been with a fellow. Sexually, she was pure. And yet God is going to perform this miracle, and the child inside of her shall be called holy. How mysteriously wonderful all of this is. The package is in a great wrapping. Now, Jesus told a story, and I want to relate this story to you. He said there was a man who had a tremendous empire. He was very rich. He was sort of the Donald Trump of our day. And amongst his holdings, he owned a beautiful vineyard. And he brought men in to look after the vineyard, and they came and they put together all that was necessary. They did the pruning, they did the planting, they did the paring back and all that sort of thing. And then they did the collecting of the fruit when the time came. And it became the time of collecting the fruit and taking it to the wine press and making wine from it. It came that time. And so the Lord, who owned all of this property, sent his servant and said, Look, it's time for your harvest, and you will have gotten in a good harvest. It's been a good year for grapes, and I would like you to give my servant what you need to give him as payment for looking after my vineyard. And the servant said, This servant that he has sent to us, we will beat him and we will turn him away and we will not pay. And so the king was disappointed, and the fellow came back and reported. So he sent a different servant, and this time he said, I want you to pay up. It's time for you to give me what is due to me. these are my holdings and you are my employers and you are under my authority, so do as you're told. They said, he sent another one, let's take him and kill him. So they despitefully used him, says the Bible, and killed him. Well, then he didn't know how to collect this money, and so he sent his son. He said, they will surely reverence my son. They will surely hold in high esteem my son. And the son comes, and as they see him coming, they say, he sent his son. That's an incredible thing. Well, he sent his son, let's kill him. And let's make the score well known. We are not going to give to him what he thinks he's going to get. And the son came with innocence and yet clarity of mind to say, I've come to collect my father's rightful holdings. I want to take home to him the money. And they said, no way. And they killed him. Now said Jesus, how do you think the father, this very rich man, how do you think he felt? And what do you think he would do? Oh, the people who heard the story, they shuddered a little and they said, oh dear, he would send his soldiers and he would bring great misery upon those fellows and their families. He would get what he deserved because it was his to take in the first place. Now, Jesus told the story because in the beginning God created. And God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. And there was the morning, and there was the evening. There was the sun to light the day, and the moon to light the night, and the stars to help the moon to sharpen up the lightness. And God made man, made all the animals and the creatures of the sea his creation. And then he said to man, I want you to go and enjoy all the creation. But man had to move another slot. They had to go to another place. Man and his curiosity could never settle down to just accepting what his God told him to be. God said, look, I've given you everything. I've given you all the flowers of the field. I've given you all the fruit of the vine. I've given you all the fruit of the trees. Everything is yours. Enjoy. But Satan came in the form of a serpent, a very beautiful creature, by the way. As he breathed, according to Ezekiel, as he breathed, and it sounded like organ music. Very, very beautiful. And his covering, the scales of his body were so beautiful. They represented all the glory and all the beautiful colors of the gems of the world. And this creature sort of purred and said first to Eve, did God really say he'd do that? Don't you know God loves this creation? He was not going to destroy it. He's not going to destroy you. He's not going to make you die as he said he would. He just said that to scare you. And Eve ate of the fruit of the tree. Immediately she had eaten, taken one bite. She knew she was wrong. And her response was to say to Adam when he came home, I've got a special fruit I found today and I'd like you to eat it with me. And so he sat with her, knowing full well he was not supposed to be eating of this fruit at all. But he ate with her. And their eyes were opened in an evil way. That is, they saw themselves as naked. Up till then, for some reason, God had held them in his hand in a way that they didn't recognize nakedness as being in any way unusual. And now suddenly they had to have clothing. Now suddenly they picked leaves to cover their nakedness. For Adam saw that he was naked and different to Eve, and Eve likewise saw herself as naked and had to cover herself. And God came out, and he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam was hiding, and he said, Adam, where are you? I know you're hiding. And Adam came out, and he said, what have you been up to? He said, well, nothing really, but we've decided to wear clothes. And God said, oh, you've eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And Adam had to confess, yes. But God had said, he that eateth shall surely die. The soul that sinneth, it will surely die. Now this wonderful package of creation was spoiled. And the Christmas, if I dare use this expression, the Christmas that happened then was now soiled because man had changed all the rules. He had sinned. And the sin had brought in with it punishment, and punishment was severe. It was death. People don't agree with this and don't believe this, but the principle is absolutely outstanding and the same today. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Now, God had made that proclamation, and he saw that man could not bring himself to God with any purity. He couldn't wash away his own sin. He couldn't get rid of all the things that were wrong in his life, and he couldn't repackage the gift of God, which was eternal life. And so there was a great need in man. So God made it possible that this Christmas time would be the time when man should receive a new gift. You see, eternal life is the gift of God. And Jesus Christ is the one who brings us eternal life. If we believe on him, we have eternal life. And when the eternal life is received, the whole packaging of our lives changes. The filth of sin, the wretchedness of sin, the guilt of sin is done away with. The purity and the holiness of the Lord Jesus replaces the wretchedness that we feel. And we have a new life. Now, it's not just a new life that is written down in glory and it's mine and it's mine. It is a new life to live. It is written down in glory, but I have it now. And eternal life starts the moment I believe in the Lord Jesus, that I believe he is God's packaged beauty of salvation. He is the redemption of the world. Jesus is God's great gift. And it is a remarkable gift because he takes the sin of the entire world, all that you have ever experienced and deserved death as a result of, all of those things that you think are foul and wicked and read and watch and know are foul and wicked, all of the things that are wrong in this world. God says, when we trust his only begotten Son, he gives us eternal life, and it starts right now. Now, the gift is put together so simply. God said they will reverence my Son, but he was a young man when he was sent. But God, in reality, sent a baby, and the baby came into this world. And the baby came following the birth of John Baptist as we know him, following him, and his whole message, his whole life was to bear the testimony and prepare the way for Jesus to come into this world and for redemption to be seen. It was as if God put a pair of binoculars on all who would wear them and said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And John, as he baptized Jesus, was saying to the world, he is more perfect, he is more pure, he is complete. I am not, I am but a man, but he is the Son of God. And God bursts through the clouds, and the people standing at the baptism of Jesus heard God saying with these great words, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This is the one that all creation has been looking for. This is the one that you need. Even we read the stones and the trees and the rocks have been longing for the salvation of Jesus. And you and I have this wonderful baby. Will you throw the baby away? Will you destroy the baby? Will you ignore the baby? And this is the story to all mankind that Jesus was the baby born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Savior of the world. Surely that cannot offend you. I agree with some of the things people say about nativity scenes, but I have to tell you this. I could never agree at their rejection of Jesus. The baby was the wrapping that God delivered his great gift to all men. And today I ask you, will you receive that gift? For God loves you and has given Jesus to wash away your sin. I have to stop. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, please, let us receive with open hearts your joy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it in his name. Amen.